Good morning, good day, good afternoon, everyone. Today is day 30, and this is entitled Peace with God. Restful one, listen with your spirit to the word of God for you. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. Ephesians 2:14-17. These two passages sum up the story of mankind and his relationship to God. Peace centers on relationships. In the Old Testament, two-thirds of the uses of the word peace refer to mankind's having fulfillment, protection, provision, or intimacy because of the presence of God. God yearns to have intimacy with us, to have each one of us be at peace with him, so that we can be complete, fulfilled, and ordered in our inner lives. Adam and Eve were made without sin. But from the time they sinned, every person has fallen into sin. Sin poses a problem between us and God. Sin is disobedience to God, violation of the standard that God has placed before us. God chose Abraham to be the father of a great nation, which we call Israel. They had a special relationship with God. He entered into a covenant with them, and he left his presence in that nation for many hundreds of years. Sometimes they were holy and turned to God. Sometimes they were sinful and turned away from God. But he remained with them. They remained his chosen people, in contrast to the rest of the nations who were permitted to come to the God of Israel, but did not have God residing among them. Eventually, Jesus Christ came to earth fully God and completely man. He was the only person to live without sin, and he chose to go to death on the cross and pay the price. Not for his sins, because he had none, but for our sin. Isaiah said, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquity. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. He died on the cross for the people of Israel who did not know him fully, and for Gentiles who were far away from him and knew less about him than the Jews. God sent Jesus Christ to do this for those far away and for those who were near, so that we may have peace with him. Restful one, I bless you with the work of the Holy Spirit that gets you past the barrier of sin and into intimacy with your Father and with his Son Jesus. I bless you with peace through harmonizing your life, bringing all the different components of your life together into one clear purpose, the purpose which Jesus Christ designed for you from before the foundation of the world. I bless you with coming into peace with yourself, peace with God, and peace with others through the work of Jesus Christ, and removing your sins and repairing your brokenness to bring you to peace. I bless you with knowing that sin erects a barrier that keeps you from knowing all of God that you are supposed to know. Your Father loves you, and he communicates his love to you. I bless you with understanding the sinfulness of man and the holiness of God. I bless you with a spirit that is profoundly sensitive to right and wrong. I bless you with a high moral standard and a keen desire to experience the peace and pleasure of God. I bless you with desire to be close to God and receive the full work that Christ has already done in his death on the cross. I bless you with understanding in your spirit and your mind the salvation that Jesus Christ offers you, which removes all hostility between you and God and enables you to come into his presence with full peace, reconciled to him. I bless you with the truth of his wonderful salvation coming to you in a profoundly transforming way, because the Lord Jesus Christ desires it. He desperately wants you to be fully and completely reconciled to him. I bless you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whose crucifixion brought you peace. Lord, we've recently talked about being ambassadors of peace. There's been other passages about you being the Prince of Peace. And it's so interesting the different definitions of peace that they offer here, and what it was in the Old Testament and what it has meant in the New Testament, and that there is certain aspects of peace that are available to us, but we can't necessarily receive until it's kind of like we get it. A person used, not in this context, but used it once about that we, on our cell phones, that we receive all the notices or our computer or whatever of all of the updates that are available for the apps. Now, those download, those apps or all those updates are available to us, but unless we, you know, have automatic, you know, have it automatically set, for most of us, you know, there's a place where we would have to go in and download each one, that we have access to it, that those things are there waiting for us, but we have to do something. There has to be something that we do that brings that into, that brings that update into our phone, and that there's some aspect of who you are and what's been done, including the peace that you've paid for, that's available to us, that somehow is available to us, but we're not accessing. And some of that comes from being at peace with you in that respect, and some of it also comes from a reconciling of the sinful nature. I'm thinking of Jeremiah, that called himself a man of unclean lips, and touching the coal to his lips, or he comes from an unclean people. I'm thinking of the reality of our carnality in some respect when people have a profound experience. Rare is the time that I've seen a manifest presence of God come into some service where there's not a certain level of wailing. That your holiness, the extreme, I will say, of your holiness and your purity acts as a mirror. And I remembered a diagram where there was a point of salvation, and we go forward, and there's these two divergent lines that get further and further apart. And those two lines, one is the holiness of God, and the other is an awareness of our own brokenness or our own sin nature, so to speak. And as time goes on, as we become more aware of the holiness of God, we also become more aware of, it's kind of like when you first get saved. I mean, for those that have been with the Lord forever, it's maybe a little harder, but when people first get saved, there's this place where you feel like you're doing pretty good. And we're all in this boat together. And then we've moved the clock forward, and all of a sudden, we see another layer. I call it the peeling the onion of Ed. You know, there's another layer of things like, wow, I didn't notice that before. And we become more and more, as we've been cleaner, even if you did this in the natural, the cleaner you eat, the more you can tell when you're not. So as you become, for lack of a better term, cleaner, even though the blood of Jesus has already paved the way, but as this sanctification process works out in our life, we become more and more sensitive to the impure. And we're more sensitive than we used to be. But the point is that these two lines start to become further and further apart. The more we learn of the holiness of God, the more that we also become aware of our own kind of, you know, depravity, that there's never-ending kind of process, right? That something has to span that gap. Or we fall into, you know, works, or, you know, you can call it hyper grace, or what's the other term that I'm looking for? You know, you fall on either side of the ditch. I'll just put it that way. And only the cross, as this person was teaching, you know, drawing this on the board. But there's an aspect of a peace that comes of understanding that you're the thing that makes it up. You, Lord, and who you are, and that knowing that you have done this, you've spanned this, that it doesn't matter what we see of ourselves going forward and our becoming more like you, that there's an aspect of you tower, you're the one that seems this stuff all together, and in all of that we can have peace, that we don't have to be afraid. I don't really know who I'm talking to right now, but this is definitely for someone that there's no fear. The shame is broken. These things have been done away with. We don't have to hide. There's no more fig leaves that are needed in our lives. That you tower, you know, and we have access, and that we have peace with you. And you give us peace in these situations, and that you bridge the gap. And the other thing that's come to my mind, Lord, is, and I'm not going to try to borrow her language, but it's a place where that Ashley speaks of also oftentimes, and and she talks about having accusations against God. Talking about being peace with God, and oftentimes when I walk people through forgiveness, there's this aspect of, well, we have to forgive those, and then, okay, well, let's go a little deeper and forgive. We're going to forgive the things that they did to us. And most of us stop there, and then if we really want to push it, really hard to do is to forgive ourselves. And then oftentimes at the very end, depending on who the person is and what's going on, there's this one, and it's very shocking to say, like, well, what about God? And the reaction is always the same, almost. Like, what are you talking about? I don't have to, God doesn't need my forgiveness. He's God. But the thing is that God doesn't need our forgiveness. But the forgiveness that's needed is ours. That there's this place where we need to be at peace with Him. And that there are times when life just didn't turn out the way that we expected. Maybe we felt like we did it all right. And and our neighbors getting everything that we wanted. You know, Psalm 37 talks over and over again. It was just all over me for months and months this last year, and it just talks about not fretting when we see, you know, those that are doing evil to seem like they're prospering, and that we're supposed to be patient and not do anything, and to trust God in it. No self-initiated action, as it says in the passage, that it leads to evil. So, I'm not sure where I'm going with all of this, Lord, other than there's this expansive idea of what the peace that's made available to us, and including the peace that we have available to be at peace with you, that for us to be at peace with you, in that there's things that have been done to allow us to be, as in the early translation of this to mankind having fulfillment, protection, provision, and or intimacy because of the presence of God, that we have a certain peace that comes from you, and that through the reconciling, through the cross, that we have and can live at peace with you. And that as we go through our process and we become more aware of our own brokenness and how holy you are, that we can also be at peace. That the work of reconciling these things is done, and there's a unity that comes on us, and the more that we can come into a unity and union with you, the more resident and resonant that becomes within us. And Lord, my prayer is also that I used to say that God's a big boy. He can handle you being angry or, forgive me, you know, pissed off with him. And there are many of us that, I don't know why I'm saying this, forgive me for being crass, but, you know, there are some of us that it's just, we just have to realize that we're pissed off. And God can handle it. He, as a pastor, changed my life, said, some of you need to have some R-rated prayers with God. I was shocked. I didn't know if I should be offended or liberated. R-rated prayers with God? Well, I tell you what, I had a couple and it changed my life. But I pray, Lord, that we can have in our own hearts to be at peace with you. That anything that we hold against anyone, but especially, Lord, anything that has happened in our lives that causes us to have something that we have erected that keeps us from that peace that is already available to us. That, Lord, that I pray for each of us that we will come to a greater peace with you. You don't need it. But, Lord, we want to experience your peace. We want to experience you. We want to have all that is available to us. So, Lord, if we need to become aware of the things that we're harboring against you, then, Lord, bring them to the attention. Release the Spirit of truth to reveal all truth. Search our hearts, Lord. And anything that we're holding against us, anything that is keeping us from being able to experience the fullness of who you are and the peace that is available to us, that we can walk in, live in, that, Lord, it be done today. And, Lord, if I've said anything wrong here, if I've been a little bit too direct or meandering, Lord, I pray that you would touch each and every person here today. That, Lord, that we would experience the peace that we have in you and with you, that we can fully be at peace, that there's nothing else that has to happen. But, Lord, that we would also, in our own hearts, come to a fullness of peace with you and who you are, so that we can truly live an immersive, transformative, united life with you, and that there truly be a place where we know in our minds that there is no separation, but we're not experiencing it. Lord, that we would walk in close fellowship and union and unity in communion with you, and that, Lord, that there nothing be within us that is standing between us and the very thing that we want, which is you, and the fullness of the life that you have for us. We bless you, Lord, and we love you in Jesus' name.